welcome to another week of Eye of the Storm, a Guelph Storm podcast with myself, Ryan Drury, the voice of the Guelph Storm on Rogers TV. I'm very pleased to be joined by another member of the team, another one of the newer guys, came in before the trade deadline and has fit in just fine on the best defensive team in the OHL, Tommy Budnick. Tommy, how are you, man?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. So, how have you been enjoying it? Obviously, parts of three seasons in Kingston before coming over here to the Royal City. How have you been enjoying the transition, my friend?
Yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot. It's been seamless. It's been smooth. It's been great. I've preached this before again and again, but the leadership group here is unbelievable of what they've established in the locker room and culture and brotherhood or family, you can describe it as, in the locker room. And the management's unbelievable. Coaching staff is unbelievable. George is, I couldn't thank him enough for how he's welcomed me in and how he's taken care of me and what he's done for me just in this past month that it's only been. And same with the coaching staff. They made the transition unbelievable. Rob, as a D coach, is extremely detailed oriented in what he does and helping me. And same with Chad, fundamentals and having a purpose and building just day to day and keep drilling that focus into my head as I grow and learn that more often as I become a man. And they've been nothing but excellent to me, and I couldn't be more happy to be in Guelph.
Obviously, like I mentioned, you get drafted and you play for Kingston for quite a while. You spent a long time there. What are some of your favorite memories of playing up in Kingston, which is a really fun city and a bit of a Guelph connection there too, because you would have played under Luca Caputi, who spent time on the bench in Guelph before going there. What are some of your memories of playing up there for the Fronts?
Right. Yeah. I think one thing that pays homage to that city is the military night. I have a lot of respect and admiration for people of the military and the service they do. So being able to wear the camo and have that tie to the city is nothing but, I have the utmost respect for that. So, probably the military game and the tie we have there and being able to respect that jersey and show pride in wearing that just being honored in being able to support the military. I can't think of the word I'm looking for.
Absolutely, man. Well, yeah, deep military ties. Patriotism. There we go. We hammered it.
There you go.
Which is very important up there. And obviously, Guelph has great military ties as well. I want to ask you a little bit, obviously, about growing up stateside, because you're from Petoskey, Michigan. And I want to ask you a little bit about growing up and how you first fell in love with the game. What are some of your memories of being a little kid and growing up there? Who inspired you?
Yeah. I'd probably say my three biggest inspirations in life for hockey. It's probably my grandpa, my father, and my uncle. And, my grandpa's been the biggest part of my journey as a hockey player. And, the support he's given me and everything that he's taught me as a kid and instilling in me. I had an unbelievable experience being able to live with him and my grandma for a couple of years. And he unfortunately passed in my first season of the OHL. And, at every event, he would always have the game on his phone and he'd always be watching. And, with the way I play in my journey, I think he's been, every day I remember why I play, and he's probably the biggest reason why I play and what he's done for me. And, my dad, built an outdoor rink for my sisters when they used to figure skate. And I kind of just picked up hockey and I fell in love with the game and I fell in love with the atmosphere and just being outside under the lights with my sisters, my dad, skating, shooting pucks with friends, doing all the little things. And then, we didn't really have like too good of a program up there. So I was playing squirts when I was in like second grade, because the competition wasn't so good. And all I did was practice and just, fell in love with the game. And, so I played, Petoskey for a little bit. Then I moved to Mackinac and I played up a couple years. And then, my hockey journey is pretty crazy. And, right around fifth grade, I moved downstate to play for Honeybaked. And my parents ended up renting a house, and I lived with my mom Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I lived with my dad Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then I lived with my grandma and grandpa every now and then in there. And then we did that for 4 years. So just I'll forever be in debt to my parents for what they've done, and I'll always be fortunate and thankful enough for them putting in that time and effort for me, and I can't thank them enough for that. So having their support and dedication and being just as dedicated to the game and watching me grow as I am, I will forever be thankful. So it's been a pretty crazy ride getting here.
Yeah, no kidding. And you put the work in. You know, they say it takes a village, and that's especially true with hockey players and hockey families,
Absolutely.
man. They're the best. Hockey families are the absolute best. I know, you mentioned Honeybaked, and I believe you played a little bit with Compuware as well. Tell us a little bit about that, because we have the GTHL up here for minor hockey, which is a big center. But down in Michigan, like Detroit Compuware, Honeybaked, those are legendary programs. What's it like growing up in that environment? It is high level stuff.
Honeybaked Compuware was a lot of fun, pretty crazy. We would have kids from all over the country come in. We always get made fun of because we were called the tournament team because we have kids from Alaska, all over, all California, everywhere coming in. And we just built a really strong fundamental team. And we were a bunch of boys, and I can't thank my minor hockey league coach enough, and I've said it again in many interviews, but Mike Hamilton turned me into the I would say the man and hockey player I am today. Truly, I spent more time with him than I did with my dad and mom. So he ended up becoming as a coach, I think he understood the responsibility he had, but he ended up being like probably my biggest father like role model, I want to say, or whatever, and teaching me at the rinks. We're at the rinks 5 hours a day with shooting pucks, working out film, then practice. And it's from 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night. And I spent Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with him. So him as a coach, it was insane. So just the hockey knowledge and respect I have, and for what he's done for me, and how he's raised me as a man, and instilled these core values of being a true man inside of me and hockey player. And he's taught me how to play my game today, and he's the reason why I play the style of game I do. And just like the practices we had, we had a lot of great players on that team. Max Nemesnikov, Frankie Nazar, Andrew Oak, Cutter was down there. We had a ton of talent. Rucker McGroarty, Hunter Briscavich. We had a ton of talent, and we just I think the biggest thing was just compete in battling every day and just hard work. I think those were probably the biggest things that helped make this elite level of work ethic, compete in type A journey.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. And they've put out a lot of good players down there, like you said. And well, you mentioned them. Let's just bring them up. One of those players was a kid named Max Nemesnikov. And everybody was very excited when you were acquired by the Storm because of your defensive capabilities and all that stuff. But there was one member of the franchise that was particularly excited, and that was Max. And you guys have a very special bond, a very special friendship. Tell us a little bit about that, because it must have been such a thrill for you to come to the team and have your best buddy sitting there waiting for you. What was that like?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. It's funny because we compete and work, and the first time we actually played together on a team, the first game we had, we ended up getting a fight in the locker room because I was a new kid coming in, and I just wanted to be a workhorse, just work hard. And he was the same way, but he had a little more swagger to his game. So first I am, and it just got into this big debacle. But we ended living at each other's houses. We We've grown an insane friendship outside his house during nights, weekends, and just the way we push each other and compete. And I've said this before, the way his mindset is with being hockey first and hockey only, and wanting to be a hockey player, not just play hockey, is something that drew my attention to him as a friend. And you know, I'm a big believer in you are who you surround yourself with. So being able to surround myself with guys like him, and a guy like him, is truly, you know, I couldn't ask for a better best friend, and I couldn't ask for a better person to play junior hockey with. And being able to come back to play with him is just the most incredible experience. And I, every day I wake up, I'm thankful for it. And let alone him being a part of such a team like Guelph. The guys in the room are, you know, I now have 21 best friends, or 22, however many we have. I now have 22 best friends instead of one. But you know, will forever be more than a friend to me. He's pretty much, he's my family at this point. And yeah, he's like my brother.
Yeah, well, that was basically what he told us about you. He was so excited when the trade went down, and we've been excited to have you here and watch you play. You fit in so well, and you know, I've asked everybody from the team that I've had on a little bit about that, just how special that locker room seems to be. You guys are so tight-knit. It's really incredible to watch from up in the booth.
Yeah, it almost gets too much. We're almost doing too much together. We almost end up all fighting like family. So, but no, it's better that than being distant. But no, I love everyone on this team, and I've only been here for a month, and I'm willing to go through a wall and put whatever on the line to win a hockey game for this club. And I think that's gonna go a long way for our team, and I know everyone else in that locker room is too.
Yeah, well, it certainly shows. I mean, you remain the best defensive team in the OHL. It's been a lot of fun to watch you guys shut other teams down every night. I want to talk a bit about offense for a sec, though, because very recently you scored your first goal as a member of the Guelph Storm. And wouldn't you know it, what you couldn't
Right.
have written it. You couldn't have written it. Max gets an assist on it. Take us through that goal and how that must have felt. It just,
Yeah.
you couldn't have written it any better, man.
Yeah. You know, I pride myself in defensive responsibility. A good first pass, 3 yard strides to the puck and move it. You know, boxing out in front of the net, keeping guys out front and shutting down their top line, not giving much. You know, I think that's the game away from the puck, and not a lot of people, you know, who don't know hockey don't understand that game. And it's a hard role. It's a harder role to take on, I would say, the game away from the puck. It'd be great defensively in small details, gaps, stick work, and just little things that I pride myself in. You know, I like to have fun in the zone. Stretch passes, you know, and I've been getting my chances, and you know, I've been getting the open man, the simple play, and I've been getting chances in the slot, been missing, pucks getting tipped low on the pad instead of over the pad. So a matter of just luck and time, and you know, it was a matter of when, not really if, at that point. So joining the rush, you know, I saw him coming down. I was just gonna do what I normally do, just try to white ice in an offensive area. I think I've worked on that shot with my trainer, at least, you know, shooting as soon as you catch it, and caught it in the slot, and I shot a little glove, and sure enough, it went in, and I think I just grabbed it through I've ever had in my life. So, well, it was great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. And obviously, you guys have that tight community between yourselves and your teammates, you know, on the ice, off the ice. I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, your routine on game days. Are would you consider yourself a superstitious guy with your equipment or anything? Do you have any quirky stuff you do? And what kind of equipment are you using right now? Skates, sticks? What's your preference?
No, I wouldn't say I'm a superstitious guy. Like I don't really believe that. I got to live out of fear of not putting on my lucky pants in the morning or putting on my lucky socks.
Yeah.
I think that's just putting something other else in your hands and not worrying about your business. So I don't really go about that. I would say more my superstition comes from just my routines and rituals in my head and my mental performance and my mental clarity and my focus and just having an extreme focus on the little things in my game, having great technique in passing, having great technique in getting my head up, and having such an of focus in that my best game, understanding who I am, being that guy that no one really wants to be in this day and age of hockey, being that old school guy who's not willing to step up on a 6'7" guy, being and taking the worst of the hit, being the guy to stick up for my teammates against a bigger guy, blocking the shots, going head first into a corner, trying to win a puck battle, being that guy that embraced the painful side of games, and I pride myself in that. I probably won't ever be a 50-point goal scorer in my career, but I am completely okay. I become so obsessed with it, and just being the best I am, and having a mature focus for that, and Pete on what I can control, but. I would say I'm. You can ask if you ever talk to Jake, our equipment manager. Getting me new equipment is ridiculous. Like I am the most particular, high maintenance guy out there, I would say. I've been trying to break in these new shin pads for near 2 weeks now, and he's like, "I'm like, I just can't get out of my head. Like my blade's smaller than an inch. I'm probably equipment manager's worst nightmare." So I owe him a couple coffees and a couple donuts throughout the year because I am the worst in the league. My stick's off. Like, but no, like it's can't, and it just gets in my head. And, but other than that, I would say, a CCM stick, true skates, just whatever the team gives me, I'm thankful for there. And I tape my stick toe to heel, and I draw stuff on my knob to keep it fun. I draw something new every game, and I just ask someone random what to draw. So sometimes it's a scope, sometimes it's a lightning bolt. I think one time I drew the Chevy symbol. I don't know why. Someone just said, "Oh, you should draw the Chevy symbol." So I was like, "All right." A lot of fun things. Just keep the game fun, keep the game interesting. Love what you do. So. Other than that, but it's been good.
Dude, I'm just gonna call this now. I think you're gonna be a coach someday. Is that something that interests you? Because you have a real intensity about the way you play the game, but also the way you talk about the game. And
I've gotten that a couple times.
I think you're gonna be a coach someday, dude.
Yeah. So, hopefully, maybe an NHL coach. Or businessman or something of that caliber, but we'll see. You could ask Max this. I think the three best ways he describes me is I eat a lot, I talk loud, and I talk a lot. So, he always tells me, yeah, when we go out and we meet people or, we go out with our girlfriends or whatever, he's always like, he always has to tell me stop talking because he says I could talk paint off a wall. So it's bad. I think I get it from my mom.
Listen, man, my friends always said the same things to me, and I think that's how I wound up in the broadcast booth. So I think maybe we're kindred spirits there a little bit. I want to ask you a little bit as well about some of your routines away from the rink too. Obviously, there's long road trips sometimes in the OHL. Are you a big Netflix guy on the bus? Like, are there any shows you're really attached to watching?
No, not really. I'm a big sleeper and I'm a big hangout guy.
All right.
Guys don't like it because they like to lay down and relax. I love going to sit by someone and talking. And so, Yeah. Other than shows, I don't know. Like, show, I would say Yellowstone was a good one I watched. I'll throw on movies. But other than that, I just like eating and talking
That's
and
fine by
sleeping.
me, man. Maybe,
Yeah.
if the coaching thing doesn't work out, broadcasting might be in your future.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. We'll see what the plan is.
I want to ask you as well. I've been asking all the guys this, your music preference. If you were in control of the music in the room, what are you throwing on? Your group is a big country group. Big country group, the Guelph Storm.
Yeah, I love country music. My country taste is a little different, a little more folk, like deep country. I'm not into Morgan Wallen or kind of the new poppy stuff. I like Alan Jackson, Jimmy Buffett, Kid Rock.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, the old country. I don't get a kick out of it, but Kid Rock's great. I love Kid Rock. I think honestly, Kid Rock covers everything. I think Kid Rock, you got Hardy in there, some of more of his rock songs, before a game, like rock before a game, and just mellow country, like Kid Rock, maybe like picture by him, like on a morning drive to the rink. But I would say rock or country. So
I like it. I like it. I like that you're mixing it up for me a little bit. Kid Rock, good Michigan boy as
great.
well. So
Yeah, groom. Yeah, yeah.
I see the tie there. I've asked everybody as well if they could pick a custom goal song, what they would choose. Would a Kid Rock song work for you, maybe?
No. I have two,
Excellent.
Mr. Boombastic, and Atomic Dog.
Oh, wow. I
Yeah,
like
those are
that.
great.
That's fantastic. You were prepared for this, man. I
Yeah,
like
no, I
that.
those Mr. Boombastic and Atomic Dog.
I think it's great, man. Hey, someday, whatever pro team you're on, they're gonna have to dial that up for you. I like that a
Oh
lot.
yeah.
That's
Hopefully
perfect,
I
man.
can score more than three in a year, so.
Nah, you never know.
Right.
I want to ask you as well. I've asked everybody about this too. I don't know how much NHL you play. Me and the boys still play it. I mean, that was the thing to do growing up. If it was too dumpy outside to go on the outdoor rink, you played NHL all day. Now, I've heard from numerous people that Bonesy is the best Chell player on the team. Can you confirm that, and how good are you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't play video games, and I am dog awful at them. I tried
Okay.
playing them. Yeah, I'm terrible. I don't even play anymore. I used to try to play with Max growing up, and I used to be so bad. He just stopped playing with me, so none of my friends wanted to play with me anymore. And I ended up stopping because I was atrocious. Like there's, I think I could lose every game that I play. I think I'd lose every game. So I don't play video games, and yeah, I'm terrible.
I like the honesty. Well, then can you confirm this for me? Because when I had Max on, he said that he was an okay NHL player, but that he would dust anybody on the team at Call of Duty. Is he a good Call of Duty player?
Oh my, yeah, I don't know if this is like inside information here, but no, he Rainbow Six Siege and Call of Duty. I think he could go get paid for it. He's like top 100
Wow.
and he's top 100 in the world in like Rainbow Six Siege or North America or something. And he's like, he does not lose. He is so good. It's incredible.
That's unreal. Wow. Okay. So that, you
Yeah.
know what? That makes a little sense to me. You got to have a high reaction time in those games, and Max is one of those guys. You can get a shot off pretty quick. It makes
Yeah.
sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sniper on and off the ice, I guess.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I want to ask you one final thing as well. I've asked all your teammates this. Whenever we close these out, I want you to put yourself in a dream starting lineup with obviously yourself on defense, and I want you to fill out three forward positions, a D partner, and a starting goalie. Could be anybody. It doesn't necessarily have to even be NHL guys, but put yourself in a dream starting six. Who's out there with you?
My D partner is Nick Lindstrom.
Love it.
So me and him, and then up top we got Sergei Fedorov,
Yes.
him, Max Domestnikov,
Good answer.
And Alex Ovechkin or Nikita Kucherov?
I like that. Big caps guy. I like the Ovechkin inclusion. Okay, who's going in net?
Net? I could just keep it Russian and go Vasilevsky. I
I
might be
like that.
biased on hockey players with that one, but net. Oh, what's his name? Terry Sawchuk.
Oh, I like that. I like the Red Wings flavor, of course. Good
Yeah.
Michigan boy. You got to get the Red Wings in there. And hey, Terry, he was as good as anybody of all
Oh,
time.
yeah.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah.
I love it. Tommy, it's been a pleasure not only having you join the team, but it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Again, you're a fun interview, man. And I really think that you have a future in coaching or doing something along those lines. It was a pleasure to have you on, my friend. Thanks so much for
Yeah,
doing this, eh?
absolutely. Thank you so much. Hopefully hockey works out, but you know, we'll see what God's greater plan is for me. So that's awesome.
Awesome, buddy. Thanks for doing this. Remember, you can find this show on all your favorite podcast apps. You can find it on YouTube. And hey, if you want to come down to the Sleeman Center and watch Tommy Budnick and the Guelph Storm in action, you can find tickets on the Guelph Storm website or the Sleeman Center box office. You can find a link on there to this show as well. We'll be back next week with more Eye of the Storm.